So let's look at this Yerushalmi for a second, because Yerushalmi adds another component to the placement of the mezuzah, and there's not such a deep idea here, but I think it does help. It brings another factor into what we've been discussing about the placement of the mezuzah. So the point that I was making that Shua and I think Granick were pushing before was the idea of having the cloth open, okay? Like, right. Okay. So this little sugya here, brings to light a different idea about mezuzah, which I'm not sure if Tosos agrees with. But anyway, so what does the Gemara Yerushalmi say? It's a Megillah Perek Dot Aluch Yud Beis. It says Rav Zeira b'shem Shmuel Tzarek Shehei Shma Shala Roa Es HaPesach. Okay. So the Shma. What does that mean? The Shma. But that doesn't make any sense. So, like the Korban Eda says, Sar Shei Shema, he says, Shel HaMezuzah Litzad HaPesach Dahainu Sof HaGalila Litzad HaChutz. Now, what does that mean? What's Sof HaGalila? The end of the wrapping part must face the outside. So, when I walk by the mezuzah, what I would see is, I would see the end of the scroll. I would see the actual edge of the scroll, so to speak. In other words, where the scroll's wrapped up, I would see that one point at its end wrapping, okay? And the Rush adds that he explains that Rashi says, "Uperish Rashi shegolam echad kalpe shma." Okay, mechaven kishemamida shehe shma litzad avir hapesach. Okay, velo litzad pnim. So that's more like saying that what does that mean? It means that by having the scroll wrapped up in that way, as Asher was saying a second ago, right? Shma, right, would be facing right the. Outside of the Pesach. So when I walk through the doorway and I look at the mezuzah, right, there's an important point. I don't see the Shema, right? I don't see it because it's rolled up. But the position of it being golel to the end there and the Shema facing the outside, I know that the Shema is facing outside, right? So what kind of idea is that? What kind of idea is that? Why does that matter? Like, who cares? Especially because you're not going to be reading it, right? You're not reading the mezuzah. It's a very strange idea. Very good. So, yes. And I think it's very good. I think that, you see, this thing is still a cloth, right? It's a scroll with psukim in it, right? Which means that the mezuzah must be in a state of omed lekriya, okay? That doesn't mean that that a person has to be able to read it, right? But rather, the chefsa, based on its orientation, demonstrates that this thing is omed lekriya, because that's what a cloth is, right? It's not just an abstract chafsa, it's a document, right, that's meant to be read, right? That doesn't mean as a havmina that the gavra should read the mezuzah when he goes in. It's just that part of its identity is a scroll. So therefore, it has to be in a position that that it could be read. Not that there's actual idea that he will read it. That's not a havmina. But its position reflects the fact that it is a cloth. Now let me ask you a question. What does Tosfos do with that? Oh, a second. And what Darius is saying is very good. You're right, Darius, because the fact that a person knows, so to speak, that the Shema is facing the opening, so he's going to be reminded about all the important ideas that Mezuzah stands for. What does Tosfos do with this? Tosfos can't agree with this entirely, because, to say that when it's lying horizontal, it's Omen Lekriya, think about it. In other words, how would you be Omen Lekriya? In other words, I guess you would mean that you'd have to spread it out this way, because it can't mean this way. It can't mean opening up vertically, because you can't read it that way. Well, now we're going to get into the sugya. We're going to introduce the sugya now. This is a very important sugya. This is the sugya of does a base medrash or a shul require a mezuzah? Okay, it's an interesting. This is a fascinating gemara. Like I told you 2 days ago, this gemara has two topics in it. One topic is the position of the mezuzah, and the other topic is the idea of a Pesach for the base medrash or shul, does it require a mezuzah or not? Okay? And it's a very important question. I think most shuls and batei medrashos have mezuzahs. We're going to explore why should that be the case. Okay? Okay. So that's also a good question. Which door would require, if there is a mezuzah required, does every door or not? Okay? Now, of course, in other words, we have to have one premise going into this. Without this premise, there would never be a havamina here. What kind of... Okay, we know a house requires a mezuzah, okay? And I think it's safe to say, I think this is an acceptable premise, okay, that what I in other words, a house, the definition of a house is a place that I live in. I do acts of living in that makom, okay? Or it's a place, I shouldn't say that. It's a place for living, right? And I think we could also agree that, for instance, a shed, okay, as an example, does not require a mezuzah, because that's not a place for living, okay? In other words, in order to appreciate why shuls and base medrashes are a question, we have to go in with some type of mindset, and that mindset is that mezuzah was set up for places where I live, right? That's bialess, right? But if you notice, the Gemara also has a qualification of someone living in there. Let's investigate. So let's look at the Gemara again. All right. So Amar Yudah Marav Asa Kimin Neger Psula Eini Vahaki Asar of Yitzchak Bar Yosef Amar. Okay. Kulu Mezuzasa Debe Rebbe Kimin Neger Havu Avdinan. So that we know already. Okay. Now Vahi Pischa De Ayel Be Rebbe Lebe Midrasha Lo Havu La Mezuzah. Okay. And as Rashi explains, there was a small opening, right, that Rebbe had near his makom in the base medrash, okay? And what he would do is he would exit that, he would go through that makom, okay, out or in, so that his talmidim wouldn't have to stand up for him, okay? So you have this little opening, this little small opening near his makom in the base medrash, okay? So the Gemara then says, Lo kasha ha da'avida kisichsa, so that's a question of the orientation of the mezuzah, okay? Now, then the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, Eini, right? Now, is it true that that Pesach from the base medrash that Rebbe had does not require a mezuzah? V'ha ha'hu pischa d'hava ayel by Rav Huna l'bei medrasha. But Rav Huna had the same exact type of Pesach into his base medrash, right? V'havi lo mezuzah. And what happened? He had a mezuzah on there, okay? So how do you answer that? Right? So the Gemara says, Hahu, so the Pesach of the base medrash Rav Huna, Rogohava. Okay? So that was a doorway that people normally went in and out of. Okay? Amar Rav Yehuda Amarav, b'mezuzah halach achar haragil. Okay? Because we know what happens, the halacha is that if I have two openings into a room, I put the mezuzah up on the doorway that the person normally walks into. So again, if you look at Rashi, he says, Rogil hava, rov ha-nichnas on the base medrash, but also Pesach. So most of the people, when they walk into the base medrash, go through that opening, right? So right now, what would you say? Let's construct a base medrash right now, or a shul, whatever. Let's construct a base medrash, and we'll say there's a front door, and let's say there's a side door. So what you would say is that the front door requires a mezuzah, but the side door would not. Okay? Right? No, it would only say that if I have two openings to one room, okay? But Asher, you're hitting on something. In other words, the analogy the Gemara uses is not quite a perfect analogy. What's lacking in the analogy? The halacha of holich achar ragil is, let's say I have a room, I have one room, okay? In my house, let's say, and I have two openings, okay? Meaning, let's say I have multiple rooms in my house, but one of the rooms in my house has two openings. So I picked the Pesach that more people go through, okay? But by the base medrash, right, are we talking about one room? Maybe. We don't know if that's true. Well, I don't know. To make the analogy work, you'd have to say that, but what would you say today? Let's say in the Migdal base medrash, right? So there's multiple rooms, right? So we'll have to see, okay? We'll have to see. Now, look, do you see what Tosfos says? Tosfos adds one point here. I just put this on right now. I apologize, okay? But Tosfos says, Mitocha lashon mashma dafka pesach habayis. Okay, so that's the other question. What was the opening next to Rebbe Yehuda Nasi's makom going to? Really? It sounds like his house, right? Tosa says, "Mitocha lasha mashba dafka pesach habayis shahaya yotzi menu lebeis hamedrash." So Tosfos learns what's the case. The case is that Rebbe Yehuda Nasi's house was right next to the base medrash. So what would he do? He'd leave his house, right, to go into the Beis Medrash. But the pet... That's a good question. Oh, well, because... That's a good question. I don't know. But he's learning the case. He's learning the case to mean that it was from house to Beis Medrash, right? Aval Pesach Beis Medrash Atzmo, lo boya mezuzah. But the opening to the Beis Medrash itself, right, does not require mezuzah. Right? Would not require mezuzah. So it's only the fact that it's a Pesach from the house to the mezuzah that you would actually have a discussion about whether it's chayv and mezuzah or not. But if it's an opening to the Beis Medrash itself, it's not chayv and mezuzah. Okay? That's a great question. That's a great question. So what does Rugham matter? Okay. So let's go to the original Gemara on this, and we're going to use the Rambam's way of learning for now, okay? The Rambam learns much differently than Rashi and Tosfos, okay? We'll do the Rambam's way. That's what I want to focus on today, and then next week we'll start the other positions. Okay. So you saw this big Gemara here, right? Back and forth, right? And I want to focus on the last part, which is the Gemara quotes a Brisa, right? Of a Machlokes between Rav Meir and Rabbanan. It's a Yuma Yud Aleph and a Beis. And the Gemara says in the end, Beis Knesses, for now let's assume Beis Knesses and Beis Medrash are the same. Beis Knesses, Sheshba, Beis Dira, Lechazan, Knesses, Chayiv and Mezuzah. So if a Beis Knesses has in it a what? Right. An apartment for the Shamash of the Shul. Okay? The guy who's there to take care of the Shul. Okay, that's what it means here by Chazan. If it has such a thing, then what? Then the Beis Knesses is Chayiv and Mezuzah. V'she'ein ba Beis Dira, but let's say that's not the case. Rav Meir's Mechayiv, and the Chacham are Potrim. Okay? So if the Shul has in it a room that someone lives in, then everyone agrees the Shul requires a Mezuzah. But if there's no makom that someone lives in inside the shul, then Rav Meir says still the shul requires a mezuzah, and the Chacham say, you're pater. Okay? Now, we can't define this machlokes without the Rishonim, because, as you'll see, the Rishonim have a different way of learning what the issue is, meaning the Gemara hasn't told us why you would think a shul is not chayiv mezuzah. The Gemara doesn't give us the variable. You know, this is you can never define this Gemara without like the Rambam or Rashi. Because the Gemara never tells us what is it about the shul that you would think it doesn't require mezuzah. Okay? The only hint we have is the Beis Dira. Okay? And what does the Rambam say in Hilchos Mezuzah Perek Vav Halacha Vav? Very interesting. He says, so the Rambam says, Harabayis, Halishkos, Ve'ha'azaros, okay? Ubate Knesios, Ubate Midrashos. Notice how he's... grouping them all together, okay? So whether it's Harabayis, right, or the Lishkos, or the Azaros in the Beis HaMikdash, or Shuls, or Beis Medrashes, She'ein Behen Beis Dira, Peturin, right, they're putter from Mezuzah. Why? Lefi Shehen Kodesh. Very odd. So the Rambam gives us the reason. The Rambam says, why are these places, why are we not Chayev to put up a Mezuzah in these places? Because... they're Kodesh. What does that mean? What do you mean they're Kodesh? So what? And what's the machlokas then between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, according to the Rambam? That's what you should have worked on today. That's the main focus today. I want to know, what's the standard, why should Kodesh have anything to do whether I'm Chayiv and a Mezuzah or not? Okay? And what's the machlokas then between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, based on that? So why don't you say it like this? Why don't you say that It's not that it's superfluous. I get why it's tempting to go down that road to say that the shul and the Beis Medrash, right, makes the necessity of mezuzah superfluous. But if that were true, then what do I care if a guy lives there or not? To me, the hint is the fact that if the Beis Knesses has a Beis Dira, so then it is a place where what it called where that shul requires a mezuzah. So I want to get into that point, because I think Dira is the key here. Okay, so I think the Chachamim are easy. The Chachamim are the easier position. The Chachamim are going to say that what does it mean Shehen Kodesh? It means it's not a Makom Shel Dira. The Makom is defined as something else. Forget what Kodesh means. That's irrelevant. Point is, it's not a Makom Shel Dira. That is the standard for requiring mezuzah, okay? So as long as this thing is not defined as a Makom Shel Dira, it's Pater from mezuzah. So now it makes perfect sense why the Chachamim would have to agree if someone lives there, right, in the shul building, right? What does that demonstrate? Right, he's undermining this idea of the reality of this thing not being a Makom Shel Dira. The guy lives in the shul, he's undermined that very reality, right? It's not intrinsic in the shul. I'd say its identity as not being a Makom Shel Dira is dependent on what's being done in there, right? If a guy lives there, he's undermining that very identification of this place as a non-Makom Shel Dira. What I'm trying to say is like this. It doesn't mean that we have to be a little clear here, okay? I apologize. There's something I'm not being clear about. Can a person go into a base Knesset and do actions of Dira? Of course, right? Does it now, if I do actions of Dira on a base Knesset, according to the Chachamim, does that produce a chiyuv of, what do you call it, of mezuzah? The answer is no, right? No. It's that a guy set up a makom in the shul to be dar in that undermines it as being a makom shel kodesh, right? But the point, though, is that the Rambam is saying is that this factor of kodesh, right, even though I do actions of dira in a shul or a base knesses, a guy could go into a shul and spend the whole day there, okay? What do you call it? They have a kiddush there, right? Even though he does that, it's still, since this makom is defined as kodesh, it precludes the necessity of a mezuzah. But my point, though, is that it's intrinsic in the makom. Once I remove the idea of dira and I replace it with something else, I know what you're asking. You're right. I should be clearer. It is the fact that it's kodesh, meaning I've replaced dira with something else. There is no such thing as a, you want to know if there's such a thing as like a neutral building. We're going to get to the neutral building case. Yes. Okay, good, good, good. That's what you're asking. That's a great question. There's a case coming up called the Beis Shaar case. The Beis Shaar case is the case of the neutral building. That's the neutral building. What does kedusha mean normally? Let's take a shul, okay? What do we mean here when we say it's a makom shel kedusha? What do we mean? Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. I don't want to call it a makom shel kedusha, but what do we say when we say it's kodesh? What does that mean? So from Meir's perspective, So we know there's another way you could look at the idea of kadosh. You could say that it's a different kind of makom, or you could say that kodesh means that, as we know, if I in a shul or a base medrash, there are activities that I can't do. I can't sleep there. I can't eat or drink there. I could do other dira type activities, right? But I can't do certain ones, right? Meaning that the kedusha here means there are restrictions of what I can do. It's not saying the makom is redefined, rather there are restrictions. So if that's true, then how does Rav Meir look at what it called, a shul versus a home? What does he therefore say? Okay, meaning like this, meaning the Torah says, uksosam al mezuzos beisecha. Rav Meir says, I look at every building as a bias, okay? Every building's a home, right? It just, right, again, limiting to this case here, but he's going to say, he doesn't look at, like, different definitions in the makom. He says, what do you mean? I have a regular home? And he would say, what's a shul? A shul is a bias with certain restrictions on activities, right? You're right, there's certain restrictions in there, okay? There's and you can start positing things like public thoroughfare, whatever you want. But the point is that just because there's certain restrictions, right, doesn't mean that there's no idea of dira at all. So he looks at it insofar as what I do in there rather than what the definition of the makom is. Okay, so Rav Meir is going to say a shul is a home with certain restrictions and therefore it still requires a mezuzah. Just because I have a restriction in what I... See, here he's learning Kodesh to mean restrictions. Just because there's certain restrictions of what I can do doesn't tell me this thing's not a bias. Okay? That's what I think the machlokas is... That's the machlokas according to the Rambam. This is a good way of putting it. Well, the reason why the Rambam has to use Kodesh here is he has to show you what it is about every makom he's going to go through that's putter to demonstrate what makes it into a different makom. That's the Rambam's responsibility. He's using Kodesh to show you this is what makes it a different makom, because it's X. You understand? He has to explain by each one, any case he says you're not chayven, what makes it a different makom. It's interesting. But most people don't learn like the Rambam. Most people learn what you guys were saying before, which we'll take up on Sunday. which is that they're going to get into things like public thoroughfare, like a public makom, or you get into this idea of bailus, right? Who owns it? It's not owned by one person. We're going to get into that. And that makes shuls, by the way, much more like office buildings, okay? Which we'll get into on Sunday, okay?